As you're finding your seats, if you will turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 and to Exodus chapter 20. It is good to be back with you guys this morning. Thank you, Jody, for standing in the pulpit last Sunday as I had a week back in Texas with family and friends and sunshine and Mexican food. It was good, and it was just as good to come back and to be back with you all in the land of mountains and water and good people. So it's great to have two places on this globe that you get to love and that you get to call home. And so good to be back with you all this morning. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Would you pray with me? Father God, in these moments now, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place might be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. As we turn to your word, would you help us by your spirit to hear what it is that you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so that you might help us do what it is you want us to do, even if that doing is rest. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we continue our series on living resurrected lives. Following Easter, we're asking this question of what does it mean to be a people who actually live lives that are fully alive? And so we're considering how to be fully alive in those everyday activities that fill up our day and our time. A couple weeks ago, we looked at our work. Those things that fill 40 hours a week, Monday through Fridays, whether we are actively working or retired, there's something that takes most of our time. And we imagined what a Monday through Friday would look like if we weren't just striving for a paycheck or just counting down the days to the weekend, but if instead our work was seen as this holy opportunity to give back to this God who is at work in this world, to join him in what he is doing, and to love those that he puts in our paths because of the work that we do. Today we consider that while we are most definitely called to work well and in a holy way, we were never called only to work. We are also a people who have been created and called to rest, and to rest well. The great theologian Stephen King understood this. In his film, The Shining, the main character, Jack, he becomes a caretaker of this isolated Overlook Hotel in Colorado as it gets snowed in for the winter. He thinks it'll be a good idea. He's having writer's block, and he goes there to try to find a cure for his writer's block. And as week after week passes in this eerie hotel, Jack moves closer and closer to a complete psychological breakdown. In one scene, you find him frantically typing away on his typewriter, this dazed look in his eyes, and the camera turns to the paper, and what you see he's been working on for weeks now is just page after page after page, hundreds and hundreds of lines that say the same thing. Do you remember what it says? No, that's the little boy, and that's creepy. It says, "All work and no play make Jack a dull boy." Now, I'm not going to hail Stephen King as a prophet necessarily in this place, and I can't exactly recommend that your family gathers this afternoon to view The Shining to top off your Mother's Day festivities. But there is something to Jack's tangent that we all know is true. All work and no play. All work and no rest. All work without a balance in our lives for other things that make us whole makes life dull at the least, completely vacant at the most. You see, in creation, for 6 days, God worked. For 6 days, he was busy envisioning, creating, breathing life into the universe. But God didn't just work in creation. He also rested, and that is part of the fullness of creation. On the seventh day, he took a breath, and God simply enjoyed what he had done. Why did God rest? Have you ever thought of that? Was he tired? This one who we say has infinite power and wisdom, is it possible that he maybe grew weary from creation and needed to catch his breath before he could go on being God of the universe? Of course not. Our all-powerful God, he has no need to sleep. He never slumbers, but he did choose to rest. Why? Why did he do that? Perhaps from the very beginning, we had this God who intentionally wanted to show us that life on earth was never meant to be all about productivity and ambition and anxiety. That life was meant to be more than that, that it was meant from the beginning of time to be this balance between getting our hands dirty and work and toil for the good of others and between rest, slowing down, taking time to take in the goodness of all that surrounds us. Even God himself, he didn't just go and go and go. And he never meant for us to just go and go and go either. Think about that. The one who literally holds the whole world in his hands. The one who literally has the whole world on his shoulders. Intentionally took time to step away from his work and his toil and rest. When I begin to think I'm much too busy, much too important to rest, maybe my view of myself is just a little bit inflated. When the creator and sustainer of the universe found a way to stop working for a day. If he could do it, surely the pastor of Belfair Community Church can take a breather too. And see that the world keeps on spinning just fine while she does. You see, in creation, it seems that God rested, if nothing else, to give us, his children, permission to rest. And to show us that he has created us for so much more than just what our hands can produce. He didn't create us just to use us. He created us for relationship. For love, our God created us not just to work, but to live. And so when he gives Moses the law there in Exodus 20, this law that's going to tell the people of Israel how to live, right in the middle of that law is what is perhaps the most ignored of all the commandments, the most ignored then, and yes, even now. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work on that day. God says in creation, work, yes, and rest, yes. And you see, we tend to see the Ten Commandments as life and death matters for the people of God. Have no other gods before me. Hello. Don't commit idolatry. Don't murder. Don't covet. Don't steal. We get that. And we continue to hold on to these things very tightly, knowing that we cannot have a healthy relationship with God or with others apart from these things. But then we get to the Sabbath, to this day of rest, and we tend to take it more like a good suggestion when it fits into our schedule. Which, if we're honest, is something that is very rare, if ever. When we hear this call to Sabbath, we kind of hear it like God is talking to us like that guy on the 80s Alka-Seltzer commercial. It says, Sabbath, if you ever get around to it, try it. Maybe you'll like it. Surely, though, if the other 9 commandments still matter today, this one must matter too. And so we ask this morning, what was Sabbath for the Israelites? Before we can know what it is for us, what was it for them? It was for them a day set apart as something holy. That means as a day set apart for the purposes of God. Just one day a week, the people of God were asked to give God their full 24 hours. This one day was supposed to look totally different from all the other 6 days of the week. On this one day, there was no food to gather. There were no tents to clean. There were no crops to harvest. There were no errands to run. On this one day, the people ceased striving, and they intentionally allowed God to be with them. It was meant to be a holy day from beginning to end. And we ask, what is it that is holy in God's eyes but worship and relationships, love and fellowship? Sabbath was a day that was meant to draw near to God and to others. A day meant to enjoy the gifts of love and of presence that we give to and receive from both God and others. And so as God would speak to the Israelites in these unhurried Sabbath moments, together as a people, they would remember where they had been. In their lives before as slaves in Egypt, Sabbath could never have happened for them. There in Egypt, they existed to work, and they worked all day, every day. I imagine as families gathered around that afternoon meal on any given Sabbath day, the elders couldn't help but look around the table with tears in their eyes and remember how just a generation before, this scenario would have been totally unimaginable. They would remember together that time when they were a people who had no name and no say and no hope. They were just slaves in Egypt. Sabbath was a day to remember where they had been. It was a day to see God's faithfulness in the ups and downs of the journey thus far. And Sabbath then also became for them a day to take great hope in where they were going. If God had already brought them this far, from the fields of Egypt to the freedom of Sinai, surely their God would keep at it until they crossed into that land he had promised them. Sabbath allowed the people to look up, at least for a day, from that barren desert that surrounded them every single day, and it gave them a chance to remind one another of the promises God had made that they hadn't seen come to fruition yet. They would tell each other on the Sabbath, he's going to give us a home that's just ours. He's going to give us a name that will be respected throughout the earth. The writings say so. Don't forget it. Remember his promise, my brothers and my sisters, and keep the faith. Sabbath helped them find hope in where they were going. And Sabbath gave Israel this opportunity to slow down and enjoy life right where the present had them. Rather than just dwell on the past or just wait for the future to live, Sabbath invited the people of Israel to sit with their loved ones right here and right now and relish in every second shared around that table. It invited them to stop the toil, to put off buying the milk or replying to that email until the morning, and to worship God with all of their hearts, unhurried and undistracted, right in this very moment, right in this very season. Sabbath allowed them to look at the past 6 days and together to acknowledge the ways that God had shown his tender mercies to them on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It kept them from rushing through weeks and then months and then years so fast that they'd find a decade later they came up for air and began to wonder where God had been in it all. Sabbath carved out space for the people to see their God then and there, to cultivate the relationships that he had given them that day and to enjoy the beauty of life in that very season. For Israel, Sabbath gave them this opportunity week after week to slow down, remember where they'd been, hope together and where they were going, and enjoy the gifts around them right where they were today. And Sabbath for Israel was also about something so much bigger than themselves. It wasn't just about their own bodies resting and just their own hearts being nurtured. It was also about being an example to all the people around them who didn't know their God at all. Imagine this. One day a week, an entire nation of people would close up shop. Their kids might not make it to the soccer game, and that was okay. Their pennies wouldn't be spent at the grocery store, and their own items wouldn't be sold in the weekend market. While all the world around them went on with life as usual, other business owners were getting ahead, other students were studying hard and getting better prepared for the exam, other homemakers were getting a head start on the week by running all their errands, the Hebrew people made this choice to gather at home, break bread, sing songs, read scripture, and enjoy the gift of one another. And in so doing, they were telling the world that their worth was found not in what they could do, but in the God they belonged to. And so there was no need to lose sleep over reputations being gained or being lost. In Sabbath, they were telling the whole world that in God's hands they would always have enough. So there was no need to worry about getting behind or going without. In Sabbath, they were showing the world that they trusted someone greater than themselves to care for them and protect them. So there was no need to pretend to have it all figured out, to carry the burden of the whole family or the whole business on their own shoulders. In Sabbath, they were showing the world that relationships and worship will always matter more than promotions and straight A's and supermom bumper stickers. By observing Sabbath, one day every week, the Hebrew people made this choice to turn the spotlight off of themselves, off of their accomplishments, off of their to-do list, off of their needs for attention and affirmation, their needs to control their little worlds. And on that day, they turned the spotlight onto God, to the one who will always be worthy of all glory and honor. And on that day, the world took note. On that day, they saw these peculiar people doing this peculiar thing, and in it, they couldn't help but see this peculiar God who didn't create just to use people, but who created to know his people and to love them and to take care of them. That God was different than any God the nations had ever heard of before, and a faithful people resting well revealed the truth about this God for all the world to see. Well, that was thousands of years ago. So what does Sabbath mean for us? A people walking this earth so long after the Hebrews, in a society that demands all of our energy, with kids who don't stop making demands on us just because we're trying to rest, and jobs that require 40 plus hours a week, not counting commuting and the work you bring home with you. And a community that tells us our kids need to be in extra activities every night and every weekend to keep up with their peers. Is Sabbath rest even possible today? Does God really still think that it is necessary for us to live? Or is it just a good suggestion? If it ever works out, try it. Maybe you'll like it. The fact that it's ingrained in the created order of the universe, and the fact that we never question the other 9 commandments at all, leads me to believe that this idea of Sabbath must be possible, and that it is most certainly as necessary as ever perhaps even more so in a society that it seems so foreign to. So how do we do it? We ask. And I don't really have a three-point answer for this, because all I can say, I believe, is the same way Israel did it. And that's, we make the choice, and we do it intentionally. You see, Sabbath wasn't second nature for the people of Israel either. That's why of all the commandments, this is the only one that God stopped to explain in a little more detail to Moses. Most of the commandments are just a couple of words. Don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. Got it, God. Check, check, check. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Awkward silence. He says, let me tell you what that means. And gives us three verses fleshing it out. You see, the people of Israel, they were a busy people. And they weren't busy entertaining themselves to death and keeping their kids plugged into 20 extracurricular activities a week. But they were busy surviving. They were busy gathering their food all day long so they could eat at night. They were busy getting water so they could drink. And God tells them one day a week, stop that. You think that was easy for them? You think that was convenient? They were barely getting by. And they had to close up their shops on the days that they could make enough to feed their family for several days to come. You think that decision came effortlessly, without just a little bit of fear and trembling? To set aside a day each week to stop everything that tries to consume our lives has always been a matter of priority and of trust. It has always been a call for the people of God to make a choice to be with Him more than they choose anything else, at least for one day. He only asked for one day. It has always been a call for the people of God to slow down and to love their household, be that their friends or their family well, before they go out and expend all their energies out there, pouring themselves into colleagues and acquaintances and leaving their loved ones with what's left over when they come dragging in the door at night. Sabbath rest has always been a call for God's people to choose worship every single week, to choose a time when they will intentionally say that they will stop pretending to be Lord of their life by pretending they alone provide for their needs, and to remember together with His people the truth of where they have been, sinners in the need of grace, the blind who can now see, the lost who are now found, remembering together with His people the truth of where they are going to this place that Jesus Christ has prepared for us, and together with His people every week to find joy right where they are in God's good, loving presence right here and right now. You see, we can't make it through a week fully alive without leaning into these stories and the presence of God and the people of God again and again and again. Is Sabbath still relevant today? Is it ever? Is finding a way to set aside a day as holy to the Lord a challenge in a culture such as ours? Of course it is. It always has been. And that's the very thing that makes the lost around us take note. When God's people finally make a choice to do something inconvenient, something unexpected, something unnatural. When God's people choose the thing that's challenging, even if that thing is simply resting well, when God's people prioritize God and what is on God's heart above all else, above frantic schedules and trophies and promotions, When God's people make the intentional effort to stop doing everything this world says they must do to be noticed, and instead they choose to be with their God and with those He's given them to love, and when they do it again, day after day and week after week, they begin to come to life. And when God's people come to life, the world around them can't help but take note and come to life too. Sabbath. Rest. It is a gift from our God to us. And it is a gift that we leave unopened far too often because we don't prioritize God's heart over this world's demands. Because we don't trust that God will really step in our lives when we step down. But until we open that gift and make holy rest a consistent part of our lives, we will be just getting by like everyone else around us is just getting by. You see, it's in this sacred balance of work and rest, of toil and worship, of doing and just being that we learn to live. Is Sabbath possible for us today? My good friend Rachel would say so. I went to seminary with Rachel, and in seminary, Sundays are your big study days because usually you try to have some kind of fun on Saturday. So you go to church Sunday morning because you're in seminary, so you probably should, and then you come home, and that is your day to get ready for the week. And my friend Rachel decided early on that Sunday was her Sabbath day because God had said so. And so she said, I'll do all my studying before Sunday. And if there's a test or a quiz Monday and I'm not ready for it, I'm not ready for it. She said, but my walk with God this time between me and Him is more important to me than acing that test. And so if I go without, I go without. And all through seminary, her seminary friends would watch her on Sunday doing whatever she did with friends, loved ones, worship. And we would think, Rachel, you're crazy. You got a huge test tomorrow. And you know what? She graduated like everyone else. And when she graduated, I think she knew her God better than those who had crammed their Sundays with study parties over Scripture. Sabbath is possible for us today. It is simply a matter of priority. Is Sabbath possible for us today? My grandparents would say so. My grandpa was a Baptist preacher his whole life. Sundays in the morning were work days. But then right after that, we'd go home. We'd have a meal together around the table, whoever was there. After the meal, that much dreaded afternoon nap. When you're a child, you feel like it's 5 hours long. I think it was probably 45 minutes. And then we'd gather around and play card games, go on nature walks, talk together as a family, watch a movie. And you know, of all the things I did as a child, all the vacations my parents took me on, all the places I went, to this day, the moments I remember the very most from my childhood were sitting with my grandma around the kitchen table on a Sunday afternoon playing the fifth round of Old Maid with her. There we'd sit eating chocolate pudding, and every single time she'd grab the Old Maid out of my hand, we'd both just start laughing. Those were sacred moments. And now that I'm a pastor, I know well enough to know that the church had plenty of things she and my grandpa could have been doing those afternoons. But they were already occupied, playing a holy card game with me and whoever else was in their home that day. And on those Sunday afternoons, I knew without a doubt that I was loved. And that I would always have a safe place in this world to fall. And on those days, if you asked me, I was pretty sure Jesus was right there at the table with us, giggling too every time that darn Old Maid card would be drawn out of someone's hand. Sabbath is indeed possible for us today. It's just a matter of priority, as it's always been. It's just a matter of trust, as it has always been. Life is too short, my friends, to work and work and work. and wait until you're retired to invest in the God and the people you want to love. We must learn to cease striving. For 10 minutes here and there throughout your days is a great start. But we must learn to cease striving for a real, full day. Imagine this, each week, 24 hours given to God. For him to use however he wants, treat it as a holy opportunity to rest and to love as he loves. Imagine if you attain that gift in your life today. Imagine what it could look like. Imagine how incredible it could be. For Israel, making a day for Sabbath rest was indeed a life or death matter. That's why it's in the Ten Commandments, for them and for the lost people around them, a life and death matter. And I'd venture to say also for us, may we be willing to shift our priorities just a little bit, or maybe a lot, and choose life by resting well. I promise you, when we rest, the world will keep on spinning. God can handle it. What do you say? Let us choose life by learning how to work well and how to rest well, starting today, perhaps. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that you created us not just to toil and work and be your little servants here on earth, but you created us also to know you and love you and simply rest and be with you. Father God, help us in this crazy culture that we live in this crazy society that would tell us that we must go and go and go to provide and protect and keep up. Help us hear your voice of truth above it all. That says, my child, come to me, lay your burdens upon me, and rest. And when all the voices are calling our names, may we listen to yours first, and may we trust what you have to say. This week, help us work well in a way that is holy and brings honor to you. And this day, let us rest well as we worship and love those you've given us to love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.